All right, well, good morning. Good to see everybody. A few more faces today. Every week, it seems like a few more faces here. If you would, take your Bibles with me today and turn to Matthew chapter 6 this morning. Matthew 6. We are starting a new series, and it's called First Things, and we want to set some spiritual priorities in our lives in a world that really pulls us in a lot of different directions. And I think even these last few months, as we've been quarantined, there's still so many things pulling our attention and calling for us to make it our priority. Well, the Bible teaches us that, first and foremost, there are some spiritual realities that need to take place in our lives. So, really how the Lord led me to this particular sermon series, if I could just share with you briefly, is we spent several months looking at the I am statements of Jesus. And I really enjoyed that. And in all of those I am statements, we see Jesus revealing to his followers and even to unbelievers, Jesus is revealing who he is. And he said some things about himself so we would understand who he is. But now, what I want to do is take several weeks, and we're going to look through the Sermon on the Mount. That's Matthew chapter 5, Matthew 6, and Matthew 7. And in the Sermon on the Mount, what we see is Jesus is not as much telling people about who he is, but he's describing to his followers who they are, who we are supposed to be in Christ. And in fact, one of the things you're going to see quite a lot is the idea of the kingdom, the kingdom. And so what I decided to do today is we're going to move chronologically through the Sermon on the Mount, but I really think you find the theme to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter number 6, and I think you find it in verse number 33. So let's look at that together this morning as we begin Matthew chapter 6, and we'll read out loud together verse number 33. So Matthew 6, verse 33. Some of you could probably quote it, but let's read it out loud together. Begin. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. It's good to hear the voices of the kids reading that verse too. Praise the Lord. Let's ask God to bless. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word and how clearly it speaks to us. We pray that you would help us this morning. Help me to speak clearly and to properly expound the scriptures. But the Holy Spirit, Lord, you, Holy Spirit, need to do what only you can do in our lives. And both in this room and on Facebook right now, or as someone watches this later, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would draw people to yourself and that the name of Jesus would be magnified. In his precious name I pray, amen. It is good to hear the sound of the kids. And I just want to share with those of you that might be watching from home, if you are worried, you know, we will keep the nursery door open. We're not allowed to have a nursery, but we'll keep the door open. So if you want to run back there with your screaming child, you can do that. Nobody's going to get upset with you. We're just glad that we can have church. Amen, church? Amen. So that's it. If you've come on out, bring your kids, have a good time with us on Sunday morning. So back to the message. We're talking about seeking first the kingdom of God. Now, you notice the word there. It doesn't just say to seek the kingdom, but how are we supposed to seek the kingdom? How? First. Really, that's a question of priority. Wouldn't you agree with me? It's about priority, that the kingdom of God must come first. We are all seekers in life. Do we understand that this morning? We're all seekers. But the question now is, what do we seek? And he says, first priority is to seek the kingdom of God. I'd actually like you to back up, and we're going to look at a few of these other verses. But as we come to verse number 32, he's talking about things that we're not supposed to seek after. Don't seek after these things, and we'll talk about them in just a minute. But don't seek these things. Why? Because look at verse number 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. He says to his followers, listen, you're supposed to seek after some things. You're supposed to prioritize the kingdom of God. Prioritize the kingdom of God. But there is a worldly seeking that goes on. Really, all people, I think, are ultimately seeking the same things. Now, do me a favor. I know you've got a muffled amen out there, and I can't see a smile on your face. Charlie told me he was sticking his tongue out at me earlier. So just give me a head nod or something, and we'll go through this morning. If you're on Facebook, just hit that like button and, you know, let the people monitoring it know you're with us today. But listen, ultimately, all people are seeking the same things in life. They're seeking inner peace. They're seeking happiness. They're seeking fulfillment. They want to be accepted or loved by someone else. They're seeking security from their fears and their worries. People are seeking all the same things. Whether you're a Christian or you're not a Christian, the truth is we're all seeking those same things. But the problem is this: everyone is taking a different path to seek those things. And there's a popular saying that talks about that it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. How many of you ever heard, I'm not getting it exactly right, but you know what I'm talking about? Not all, have you ever seen that bumper sticker? Not who wander are lost. You've seen that one. Or it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. Well, that's all well and good until you run out of gas at the wrong destination. How about it? I mean, really, not all wander are lost. If that's the attitude with which people are going through life these days. And the problem is this: we're all looking for the same thing, but we take different paths. But Jesus says there is but one path. Jesus says there is but one way, and it is His path. It is the only way, but it is the perfect way. It is the righteous way. It is the way of truth. Jesus says there's one path. And what He teaches in the Sermon on the Mount is the spiritual priorities in our lives that lead us on the path to truly seek the kingdom of God. Now, we'll learn some things. Of course, it has to begin with an inner working, and we'll see that. But quickly now, what is it? When Jesus says to seek the kingdom, what does He mean, seek the kingdom? We know it's supposed to be the priority, but what is it? Well, there's a lot of things we could say theologically about the kingdom of God. And maybe we'll do that in our Sunday night discussions. There's a lot of things that we can talk about in the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord, there is a day coming where the kingdom of God will be on earth and Jesus will rule and reign. There is a day coming that every wrong will be made right, every injustice will be put to, will be judged, and Jesus Christ will be on earth King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I still believe the Bible, and though it's old-fashioned, I still believe that that day is coming. Jesus said that He would come back. Ultimately, that is the fullness of the kingdom of God. But if you study the New Testament, what you find is, while that is the ultimate experience of the kingdom of God, all along the way we learn that there is a broader application to the kingdom of God. There is a first and foremost, there is a, if anyone hopes to ever have a part of that physical, literal kingdom that's coming in the future, they had better first enter into the spiritual kingdom of God. In fact, listen to what Jesus said. If you're taking notes this morning, again, I'll give you some cross-references today. Luke chapter 17 and verse number 21. Luke 17, 21, talking about the kingdom, Jesus says, "Neither shall they say, 'Lo here,' or 'Lo there.'" Where is the kingdom? Oh, it's over here. Or, "Look over here, there's the kingdom." Jesus says, "For behold, the kingdom of God is within you." I just want us, as we think about the Sermon on the Mount, as we have this introductory message about putting first things truly first, listen, the essence of living in the kingdom of God is yielding our lives to His authority. I have a little saying that I don't think I came up with it, but I always think of it this way, and thinking in kingdom terms for the kids here. If you walk into the room, you're looking for a piece of furniture that the king would sit on. What's that called? Who knows? For all the kids, there's a piece of furniture that a king's going to sit on. What is it? You're like, what? I heard it. Gracie, you got it? What is it? The throne. That's right. The throne. The king sits on the throne. Could you say that like a five-year-old with me today, like that? Ready? The king sits on the throne. Well, listen to this. It's got to be, my heart is His throne. Amen? My heart, His throne. And that's the essence of kingdom living. When the heart of every believer, of every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl, when the heart of every person becomes the throne of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But the problem is this. We find other priorities in our lives, don't we? We have things that pull us in all kinds of different directions. What we'll see in this study is Jesus really outlines how we prioritize him. How many of you have ever seen the illustration of the jar with the rocks? Who knows what I'm talking about? The jar with the rock. A couple of us? All right. So maybe, oh, what do you know? A jar with rocks. Where did that come from? All right. A jar with the rocks. Now notice, all the rocks don't seem to fit in that jar, correct? You seeing that? Everybody's, we're looking at the same thing today. Okay, this has been in books and stuff for years. This is a great little illustration, though. You know something? You could dump all of that out. It's like, how many of you like those little puzzles where you got to get the nail apart, you got to do something like that? If I told you guys, if I told the kids that every single one of those rocks and all of that sand and even some water, it could all fit in that jar. You don't think so? Kaziah thinks it could. She's with me there. Could it all fit in there? You know what? We don't have time to do it today, but you go home and you try it out. Maybe your parents can help you with this. But you know what'll happen? You dump all that stuff out. What do you think you should start putting in the jar first? How many of you think the sand? Put the sand in first. I think you know it. What do you got to put in first? Ooh, you got it. You got to put in the big rocks. And you do the illustration. If you take those big rocks, you put the big rocks in first. And then you put the little pebbles in. And then you put all the sand in. And then you pour all the water in. You know what will happen? What will happen is everything will fit neatly in that jar. It'll work. Now, when you do an illustration like that, you run the risk of everybody, all the kids get into the illustration but don't know what the point is. The point is this. The rocks represent the priorities in our lives. And in life, I have a whole lot of pebbles in my life. I've got a whole lot of sand. And my mentality sometimes as a Christian is this. My mentality is this. You know what? I know that this rock of, you know, my time in the Word of God, that's a rock. Amen? Or I know that my church attendance, or I know that my time with the Lord, or I know that the attitude of my heart. I know these are the important things. These are the big rocks. But you know what? Sometimes I get busy trying to pack all the sand into my life and then make time and make room for the important things of the Lord. Well, really, I want us to think about it that way. As we think about first things and spiritual priorities, what are the priorities in our lives? Well, notice back with me, and we can take the picture up. There we go. Notice back with me. I want to show you a few things this morning. I want you to see in verse number 30. I want you to go all the way to the end of verse number 30. Why is it? Why is it that our lives get out of balance? Why is it that we begin to misprioritize things? Well, look at the very last 5 words of verse number 30. What's it say? Yep, I'm hearing it. It says, O ye of little faith. O ye of little faith. Verse 31, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things, all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It all comes down to this. I don't think that there are a lot of Christians, catch this now, I don't think there are a lot of Christians that say, well, that's not important. I don't think those, you know, as we're talking about spiritual priorities, I don't think it's important to read my Bible. I don't think it's important to attend church. I don't think it's important to love my neighbor. I don't think it's important to win souls. I don't think there are Christians that are saying I don't think about all those things. That's not usually the problem. We don't come out and say that, but you know what happens? We don't believe God enough to trust that his plan for us is best. We don't have the faith. We don't have the faith to say, "Lord, your path, your plan is best for my life." Do we have enough faith to trust God to be the one that orders our priorities for us? Well, let me give you a couple of things this morning, just a handful of things that I notice in this passage where we need to have faith in certain things in order to see God establish our priorities. First of all, we need to have faith in His goodness. Are you thankful for the goodness of God in your life today? Look back at verse number 26. The Bible says in verse 26, "Behold," Jesus says, "behold, the fowls of the air." Look at the birds. Look at all the birds. They don't sow. They're not out planting their fields or their crops. They don't reap. They don't gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father does what? Oh, He feedeth them. He feeds them. He cares for the birds. And now look at the end of verse 26. He says what? "Are ye not much better than they?" Look at verse 27. "Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature?" How many of you, when you were a kid, you had the, either in your parents' house, or for us, it was in my grandparents' house, we had a wall, and there were all those marks on the wall, you know, and you're measuring yourself every single year. Who had that growing up? Who did that? Some of us? Okay. And you're always hoping, and you know, and you're stretching, and you're working at it. And when you're little, you always want to get big. And Jesus says here, hey, who of you can think really hard and make yourself a little bit taller? Well, of course, there's nobody that can. Nobody. "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin." Yesterday we took a walk. We went up to the Greylock Glen. It's been a long time since I've been to the Greylock Glen, and it is just gorgeous up there, isn't it? I mean, if you haven't been, it's, you know, 5 minutes out of downtown Adams, and you're in just a beautiful, beautiful spot, wonderful walking trails. I went through all those fields, and it, not so much lilies, but all the wildflowers are in bloom right now. So if you've got time to get there before it's too late, go now. But man, just a few weeks ago, it was all brown, right? It was just brown and kind of gray and yucky, and you just give it a few weeks, and those flowers are, they're 2-3 feet tall and beautiful. That's what Jesus is talking about. He's saying this. He's saying, look at how God cares for nature. And understand how much He cares for you. And understand His goodness. He says, "They grow, but they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." Now here it comes, verse 30. "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you?" You see, we just need to have faith that we serve a good God who loves us, that He cares for us. Do you see the goodness of God at work in your life? Psalm 40, verses 4 through 5. Psalm 40, 4 through 5. "Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." God says that His thoughts to us, His care for us, His love for us is so, so great. Yet often we forget the goodness of God. Not only do we need faith that He is good, that His plan for us is good, but we need faith. We need faith in His provision for us. And it really, they go hand in hand. In verse number 31, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What are we going to eat?" That's what I say about 1 o'clock. "What's for dinner? What will we eat?" Jesus says, don't worry about that. Don't say, what are we going to eat, or what are we going to drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? All these things do the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He cares. We can have faith in His goodness, and He provides. Do you believe that God will provide for you better than you can provide for yourself? Do you believe that God can do more with the 90% when you give him the 10% than if you keep it for yourself? Do you believe it? Do you believe that you can, and I don't want to sound like a televangelist now. Of course, the meme goes around now that we're on Facebook. We've all become televangelists, right? All the preachers. I don't want to sound like that, but there is truth that you sow a spiritual seed in your giving that says, I trust God's provision. And you sow that seed and you reap a spiritual harvest. God provides for us. You can sow a spiritual seed into missions and receive fruit that abounds. The Bible says fruit to our account. You can sow a financial seed into a next step offering. You can sow a spiritual seed, not even necessarily through the organized giving of the church, but in generosity to someone near you in need. You can sow that seed and see what God does, but ultimately it comes to a question of this. Do you believe God is good, and do you believe that he can provide for you better than you can provide for yourself? How many of you remember the story of the children of Israel and the manna? The manna. You kids out there. Girls, can you imagine? Did you ever hear the story about the manna? Do you know what I'm talking about? You don't? All right, get this. You ready? The children of Israel are wandering in the wilderness. They're really hungry. They go outside one morning, and there was food that had fallen from the sky that they could pick up off the ground and eat it. Pretty cool? Pretty cool. Every day, God provided for his children. Now we remember the story of the manna in the wilderness. But really, they had a little bit different perspective of it, if you remember. In fact, listen to this from Numbers 11, verse number 6. This is the children of Israel after weeks and months of enjoying all the blessing and provision of God in their life. Listen to their perspective. But now our soul is dried away. Boy, that sounds bad, huh? Our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. That's what they said. There's nothing. We might as well die. And they even said, we should go back to being slaves in Egypt because there we could eat onions. You think I'm making that up? That's actually what they said. That was their perspective. But listen to the psalmist's perspective, Psalm 78. Listen to the other perspective. Speaking of God, he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. Doesn't perspective make a lot of difference in that? Here you have the recipients of the blessing and goodness of God. Oh, if I could only have something better. And God says, I've given you the corn of heaven. I've given you the very best. Could we just challenge ourselves this morning? What goodness has God given us that we've become ungrateful for? It's Flag Day. I heard the whole story. We know. Don't we have a good country that God has given us? Don't we? No matter what happens and we see all of the unrest and political nonsense that goes on, but let us be careful. Even in the situation we are, even where we are, he's given us wonderful leadership over us in many ways and a free republic to live in. And we become ungrateful for what we have. We have wonderful friendships and families, wonderful marriages, wonderful lives. These are the good blessings of the Lord. But we begin to desire something else when God says, I've given you the food of the angels. You see, often when we get our spirit, you see, my spiritual priorities get out of whack sometimes because I forget that by seeking his kingdom, I'm getting the very best. It's not that, Christians, it's not that we sacrifice, well, I'll follow the hard road, I'll give up everything to follow Jesus. No, when you let go of the world and cling to Christ, you get the very best. the very best. Romans 2:4, the Bible says that it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. The goodness of God. I need faith in His goodness. I need faith in His provision. Let me give you thirdly this morning, I need faith in His plan for me. Faith in His plan. And that comes from our key verse, verse number 33. But seek ye first whose kingdom? God's kingdom. Whose kingdom? God's kingdom. Not my kingdom, not your kingdom, but God's kingdom. Seek it first. Do you know what's ironic if you know the story of these people that Jesus is speaking to? What's ironic is this. They were obsessed with the kingdom. All they loved to talk about was the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. Will you set up your kingdom? When will the kingdom come? Lord, send the kingdom. But really, if you know a little bit about them, the truth was they certainly wanted a kingdom, but it wasn't God's kingdom that they wanted. Because when the king came, what did they do with him? They crucified him. Oh, they wanted a kingdom. In fact, if you know the history, all of the Jews at this time, at this place, they wanted a mighty king to come in and drive out the Romans. They wanted someone to come in on horses and with chariots and with swords and say, Israel now belongs to the seed of David. Out of here. That's what they envisioned. That's what they imagined. But Jesus started coming and saying things to them like, hey, the kingdom is within you. Unless you become like a little child, you won't enter the kingdom. And they're thinking, child within me, I'm a mighty man, like the judges of old. Let's take over. You see, what they really wanted was their own kingdom and for God to be a part of their kingdom. That should cut to the heart of each of us. You see, because often, it's not that I don't want God in my life, right? It's that I want my life to go my way and I want God to kind of just stamp it. Approved. Here's the plan, God. Okay, approved. God doesn't work that way. God wants us, we don't hand him, you know, I got lots of notes here, God, this is the plan, Roman numeral 2. You know, in 2022, look at subpoint A, little point B right there. This is how I'd like it to go. But I'm going to pray about it. I think you talked about that, Dad, on a Wednesday night, how sometimes our prayer life can simply be trying to get God to agree with our will for our lives. But God says, if you truly want my kingdom, you've got to have faith in my plan. And instead of giving me your list, what you really need to do is give me a blank sheet. Give me a blank sheet. Young people that are in here, people planning their lives, I'd encourage you right now, give God a blank sheet of paper to write His story on your life. But it's not just for young people, but the reason we often emphasize that with teenagers, college students, is because it is at this juncture in your life where you can set yourself on a trajectory to make godly decisions. There are different turning points in life. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 and 7, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Oh, be not wise in thine own eyes. Be not wise in thine own eyes. And to fear the Lord and depart from evil. You know, if you compare Matthew 6:33 with Proverbs 3:5 and several other passages, you really get a perfect recipe for discerning the will of God for your life. Faith, humility, and obedience. Enough faith to say, God, your way is best. Enough humility to say, I don't trust myself to make my own decisions. And enough obedience to say, I will do today what I know is right today and let God lead me into tomorrow. Well, let's wrap it up now with our fourth and final point this morning. I need to have faith in His goodness, faith in His provision, and in His plan. And then finally, I need faith in His word. That's what He says in verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His what? And His righteousness. His righteousness. His righteous judgments, His righteous Son, both the written word and the living word, Jesus Christ. It pleased the Bible teaches us that Christ, that Jesus Christ came to fulfill all righteousness. You find the standard for righteousness where? I'm kind of giving you a hint. You find the standard for righteousness where? In the Word of God. But you find the fulfillment of righteousness where? In Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ. And we need faith. The Bible says in Proverbs 6, verse 23, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." The scripture says that he esteemed the words of God's mouth more important than his daily food. That the Word of God gives life. Listen, it doesn't matter what I say here this morning. It really doesn't matter if I have, you know, I show you the jar and the rocks and all that, and however clever it may or may not be, it may have been effective or it may have flopped, it really doesn't matter. All that matters is, was the Word of God glorified? Did the Word of God have free course in your heart? Because you could strip away every word that I've added to the Scriptures today, not added to the Scriptures, you know what I mean, put in the sermon, and just leave the Scripture alone, because that's where the power is. Do you believe that? That there's power in the Word of God. Psalm 40, 8 through 9, "I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest." And then Jesus, as I said, would set the perfect standard of righteousness. In fact, we'll see in a couple of weeks, he's going to say back in chapter 5 and verse number 20, Jesus says, "Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven." He's going to teach them that true righteousness doesn't begin with what we do on the outside, but it begins with what God does inside of us. Outward reformation only truly happens when there is an inward transformation. A lot of people they say, you know what, I'm going to seek the kingdom, I'm going to seek God's righteousness. Listen, God's righteousness is only found, it only begins when we enter into a personal relationship with the one who is perfect righteousness. The Bible says that that Christ took all of my sin. He, and the kids in their program were learning this verse, that he who knew no sin, he became sin for us, that we might become what? The righteousness of God in Christ. You see, I do not have enough goodness and righteousness inside of myself. I don't want anybody to misunderstand this Bible study series. It's not about me saying, hey, let's all be better Christians, be better Christians. No, it's about letting the power and the purpose and the Spirit of Christ have more control over what we do and how we live. It's about getting closer to Him. In fact, I'll give you one more cross-reference this morning if you're taking notes. It's John 6, verse 28 through 29. "Then said they unto Him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" How do we be good people? How do we do all the things God wants us to do? How do we get our lives right on track? Listen to this. Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God." If Jesus says this is the work of God, my pencil's out, I'm getting ready to take notes. "This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him who He hath sent." The work of God, the righteousness of God begins, seeking the kingdom of God begins when we believe on Jesus Christ as our Savior. And then our entire Christian life, get this, it never grows beyond that relationship with Christ. A lot of people think, okay, that's where I start, and now I'll just try to do better and I'll add all the good stuff to that. No. Our relationship with Christ is both the beginning and the continuation of the power that we need to live lives for God. the work of God, the righteousness of God, is about believing on the one who has been sent, believing on Jesus Christ. So I always try to finish with two questions. And first and foremost would be this, and most importantly, has there ever been a time in your life where you have personally believed on the name of Jesus? Well, I believe about Jesus. I mean, no, it's not like believing in the history of Flag Day like we talked about. It's not like believing the facts that there was a man named Jesus. Has there been a time in your life where you personally said, I'm a sinner, my way will lead me to hell, but I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe he is my Savior, and I call on him. Has that ever happened in your life? If it never has, why don't you do that today? Why don't you make today the day that you put your faith and you put your trust in Jesus Christ? And then for Christians, for those of us who have done that, the question is this. Are your priorities flowing out of your relationship with Christ? Or are we trying to fit our relationship with Christ into the priorities that we are setting? Honestly, the truth is, I think each of us should probably spend some time realigning our priorities this morning. Probably each and every one of us. So that's why we go to this time of invitation, we go to this time of prayer, where we seek the Lord, we let him do a work in our heart. So maybe let's bow our heads and close our eyes. The musicians are going to come and prepare us to sing, but it's important that in these last moments that we truly pray. And there may be one watching or one here that has never trusted Christ. I want to invite you to do that right now. You can pray something very simple. You can pray something, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I believe you died for me, and I ask you to save me. I put all of my trust and all of my faith in you. And Christians, let's pray together as Amy plays the piano. Let's pray together that God would lead us this morning. Lord God, you've been so good to us. You've blessed us. You've led us by your strong hand. We pray that we would be a people faithful to you, that we would be used by you and obedient to you. Lord, I pray that if there are any here struggling, if there are any watching who are struggling with surrendering an area of their life to you, Lord, I pray that you give them victory today. You give them power and strength. And I pray that as we finish this morning, that we would just truly worship you with our voices and with our prayer. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen.
We are so glad that you've taken the time to join us today. If you've been blessed by the message, or if you have placed your faith in Jesus today, we want to hear from you. Maybe you still have questions about what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Please let us know, and we would love to answer those questions from the Bible. We would also be happy to provide you with the Bible and other free Christian resources to help you grow in your faith. You can email us at info@mountgreylockbaptist.com or send us a message on Facebook. You could also call us at 413-662-2107. We would love to hear from you, and our desire is to be a blessing to you in any way that we can. God bless.